Hey, Dave Emery here. This is Side 1 of For the Record program number 755, The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 2, Dramatis Personae, Part 2, subtitle Wiki Fascism, Part 3. This is being recorded on September 22nd of the year 2013. And again, for people just tuning in, I wasn't producing programs for the better part of 2 years following very serious oral surgery, and I will be getting my partial denture soon, and then I will not be speaking like Elmer Fudd with a touch of Daffy Duck. However, in the meantime, we're just going to have to muddle through. Anyway, what I'm doing in connection with the quote, disclosures, unquote. Please note the quotes, because most of this has been on the public record for a long time. I've been doing programs about most of this for the better part of 2 decades from open source information. That's actually one of the major considerations in this whole thing. The Snowden's Ride, as I call the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, is very complex. It is as complex as it is important, and it has been, for the most part, fundamentally misrepresented by friend and, in many cases, foe alike. And I think that in order to understand the line of analysis that's being presented here, understanding the nature of the elements involved is very important. In our last program, we took a look at Citizen Greenwald, Glenn Greenwald, Eddie the Friendly Spook's leaking journalist of choice. And he is, as I say, NAA, not as advertised. He spent many years representing the most heinous and murderous neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups, basically running legal interference for the leaderless resistance strategy, and doing so pro bono. Glenn Greenwald is joined at the hip with WikiLeaks. I'll just go on the internet, type in Glenn Greenwald and WikiLeaks, and you will see that readily enough. Again, most of the people backing WikiLeaks and the inextricably linked Pirate Bay and Pirate Party are not fascists by any means. They are anarcho-utopian in their orientation, the same with the overlapping Anonymous group. However, I have termed them the cyber Wandervogel, the wandering birds, as they were called in Germany. In pre-Weimar Germany, the Wandervogel were sort of like right-wing hippies, and they were into holistic foods and medicines, even saving the whales. Ultimately, however, they were sort of anarcho-utopian in their orientation. Ultimately, however, most of the Wandervogel became Nazis, and I think we need to pay close attention to the realities of these elements as well. Inside one, we reviewed information about the WikiLeaks operation per se. Always, and we will be doing that in this program, follow the money. And it turns out that the nice, groovy, you know, anti-authoritarian WikiLeaks operation was ensconced at the PRQ server in Sweden, and that was financed by Carl Lundstrom, one of the top fascists in Sweden, the financier of one of their top fascist, arguably the leading fascist party in Sweden at this time. And it turns out that WikiLeaks wound up there courtesy of the activities of Joran Jermas, a.k.a. Israel Shamir, a close associate of Julian Assange for a long time, a doctrinaire Holocaust denier who arranged for WikiLeaks to hook up with the PRQ servers in Sweden. And as we have looked at in For the Record program 732 and 745, and we will come back to it here, the Pirate Bay file sharing milieu and the Pirate Party are not only very closely linked. The Pirate Party is a small alternative political party that is present in many different European countries and the Pirate Bay and Pirate Party are inextricably linked with WikiLeaks. We took a look at Andreas Fink, the head of the Datacell Corporation that has been handling payments for WikiLeaks, and Andreas Fink is a member of the Pirate Party in Switzerland. And we're going to take a look now at some recent developments vis-a-vis the Pirate Party in Germany. In an article from the Gatestone Institute website called Will the Pirates Capture Germany? It's by Peter Martino, and we read the following. I recognize that we have a Nazi problem in the pirates, said Harmut Semken, the head of the Berlin Pirate Party. There's no alternative. A party which accepts members without any pre-screening can't help but attract people trying to hide their contempt for humanity behind freedom of expression, unquote. This is a very important insight here. I'm going to repeat it for that reason, because I think in many ways a lot of well-intentioned people and elements have been seduced by one aspect or another of the concatenation that we are looking at here. And I think that one needs to keep that in mind. Remember also what Adolf Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf. Most people tell little lies. They would be ashamed to tell big ones. They would never credit others with such great impudence as the complete reversal of facts. And again, from Will the Pirates Capture Germany by Peter Martino, Harmut Semken, S-E-M-K-E-N, the head of the Berlin Pirate Party, I recognize that we have a Nazi problem in the pirates. There's no alternative. A party which accepts members without any pre-screening can't help but attract people trying to hide their contempt for humanity behind freedom of expression. And he then went on to say, it is, however, the writer goes on to say, it is, however, a strange position for a party not to allow any criticism of immigration and religion, such as Islam, while at the same time condoning anti-Semitic activities under the pretext of freedom of expression. And still another article from The Local, a German blog, called Two Pirates Exposed as Former NPD Members. This from October 12th of 2011. By the way, the Gatestone Institute post was from April 24th of 2012. And again, from October of 2011, we find the following. The NPD, by the way, is the top neo-Nazi party in Germany. And bear in mind that the Pirate Party and the Pirate Bay are inextricably linked with WikiLeaks. Germany's upstart Pirate Party is fighting off accusations that right-wing extremists may have infiltrated its ranks following reports that at least two prominent members once belonged to the far-right National Democratic Party. Valentin Seidt, S-E-R-P-T, a Pirate Party district chairman in Freising, Bavaria, resigned earlier this week after the accusation emerged. Matthias Bahner, B-A-H-N-E-R, who was a Pirate Party district council member in Greifswald, Mecklenburg-Western Pomerania, is still in his position, although the party has said it will discuss the issue this month. And the article goes on to say, the revelations are controversial because the NPD is widely seen as a racist party supporting extreme right-wing stances. Well, it's a Nazi party. It's not widely seen as racist. It is explicitly Nazi. And the post goes on to note, in contrast, the Pirate Party, which recently made big inroads in Berlin's state elections and is winning increasing support nationwide, portrays itself as a party based on freedom and the protection of civil rights. Well, again, bear in mind the precedent of the Vanderbilt. And I would submit that the anarcho-utopians of Pirate Bay, Pirate Party, Anonymous, and those, the majority of those who support WikiLeaks, are not fascists by any means. However, they are relatively easily seduced, and seduction, political seduction, is one of the things we'll be coming to shortly. And when we discuss Ron Paul and his son Rand Paul, that will come into play in a big manner. We'll do that later in this broadcast briefly and at greater length next week. Now, bearing in mind the money connections of WikiLeaks, which go to Carl Lundstrom and the far right, WikiLeaks has launched its own political party, the named appropriately enough, the WikiLeaks Party. And they dipped their cyber toe, so to speak, into the recent Australian elections. From the Osso Opinion website, we find the following. From August 18th of 2013, by David Jackmanson, the WikiLeaks Party lurches to the right, preferences fascists, men's writers, and gun lovers above the Greens. The article reads in part as follows. Assange's running mate has resigned as a WikiLeaks Party candidate over this issue. Continuing, just 2 days after WikiLeaks Party Senate candidate for Victoria, Julian Assange, raised eyebrows by praising anti-abortion politicians Ron Paul and Senator Rand Paul, the WikiLeaks Party revealed a new attempt to appeal to the far right. In official election tickets lodged with the Australian Electoral Commission, they have said they want the fascist Australia First Party, the pro-shooting in national parks Shooters and Fishers Party, and the men's rights activist non-custodial parents party to win a seat instead of the Australian Greens. And by the way, the Greens are behaving that they are shocked to learn that there is gambling going on in this establishment. This is not to say that their evident outrage is not sincere. However, look before you leap. Count your buttons before doing them up. Because when one gets past all of the superficiality with WikiLeaks, one comes across hardcore fascist and Nazi elements. And indeed, Julian Assange himself holds some very far-right wing one percenter viewpoints and may very well have roots in the family Santa Ketanin Park Association, a brutal fascist mind control cult that we talked about in For the Record 724. More about the Australian WikiLeaks Party, their abandonment of the Greens and embracing of far-right parties in Australia. This from the Crikey.com blog in Australia. WikiLeaks Party's administrative errors, unquote, incense Greens. It's by Bernard Keane, K-E-A-N-E, and it's from August 19th of 2013. An excerpt. A decision by the WikiLeaks Party to direct preferences away from Julian Assange's strongest political supporter has incensed supporters. They should have known better. Amen to that. And continuing with Bernard Keane's analysis, the fledgling WikiLeaks Party has inflicted major damage on itself after a disastrous preference allocation that saw it preferencing far-right parties, apologizing for an administrative error and preferencing the WA Nationals ahead of Julian Assange's strongest political supporter, Greens Senator Scott Ludlam. The Senate preferences allocations revealed yesterday in New South Wales, WikiLeaks had preferenced the right-wing Shooters and Fishers Party and the extreme-right Australia First Party, run by convicted criminal and former neo-Nazi Jim Salem, ahead of the Greens and the major parties. And skipping down, the WikiLeaks Party was blaming this on, quote, an administrative error. And then the Crikey.com writer here, Bernard Keane, says, one party source told Crikey the, quote, administrative error in New South Wales was quite intentional and aimed at the Greens. Skipping down again, The decisions of preference are Nationals. David Wirponda ahead of Ludlum, strengthening the chances of the Nationals and snaring the sixth Senate spot ahead of the Greens, is thus an extraordinary betrayal. And more about this, this from Terrence Ween of TechGeek.com from August 26th of 2013. WikiLeaks Party Senate candidate, New South Wales preferences a poor judgment call, not an administrative error. Skipping down, it was not an administrative error, it was a poor judgment call. This from a spokesperson for the WikiLeaks Party. I would submit that this is absolutely in keeping with everything else that we have seen about WikiLeaks once we move behind the surface. Once we take into account what Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, they would never credit others with such great impudence as the complete reversal of facts. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood as characterizing WikiLeaks supporters or the anonymous people or the Pirate Bay or all of the Pirate Party folks as fascists. However, the overall controlling elements here appear to be just that. And when we talk about some apparent BND connections, we will get back to Peter Sunde, who founded the Pirate Party, had a lot to do with the Pirate Bay. In fact, he may have been the original founder of that. He now lives in Germany and was working for Siemens when he began the pirate activities. Siemens is inextricably linked with BND, German intelligence, and the ultimate successor to the Reinhard-Gehlen Nazi spy outfit about whom we've spoken so many times. In one of the Australian articles specifically about the WikiLeaks preferencing of the WikiLeaks parties, preferencing of far-right parties, it made an allusion to Julian Assange's endorsement of Ron Paul and Rand Paul. An article by Nick Wing, W-I-N-G, from the Huffington Post of August 16th of 2013, titled Julian Assange, I'm a big admirer, unquote, of Ron Paul and Rand Paul, reads in part as follows. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange gave a strong endorsement to the libertarian wing of the GOP on Thursday, praising Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, and his father, former Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, for their political views. Quote, I am a big admirer of Ron Paul and Rand Paul for their very principled positions in the U.S. Congress on a number of issues, Assange said during a forum hosted by the Campus Reform, by Campus Reform and Transparency Organization, oursay.org. Continuing, they, meaning Ron and Rand Paul, have been the strongest supporters of the fight against the U.S. attack on WikiLeaks and on me in the U.S. Congress. So again, note Julian Assange's strong preference for Ron Paul and Rand Paul. I would note that Edward Snowden was a big Ron Paul man, contributed money to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, and we are going to get into Ron Paul and Rand Paul a little bit in this program, but much more in our next program. There is a book, unfortunately poorly written and sloppily edited, but with a very appropriate title. It's called Ron Paul, America's Most Dangerous Nazi by A.J. Weberman. I believe that there is a lot of substance to that analysis, Ron Paul as America's Most Dangerous Nazi, precisely because of the fact that Ron Paul has enjoyed the very large degree of success that he has among elements of the electorate. We will be examining what I call the Palestinian Libertarian Organization at length next week. However, we're going to touch on that this week. I want to note again that Ron Paul has garnered support from a great many elements who are not themselves fascists, although he also has garnered a whole lot more support from elements who indeed are fascists and who indeed created Ron Paul in the first place and also his son Rand Paul. I will note, if there are members of the audience who have been seduced by Ron Paul or his son, he is quite good at that. What he does, he's sort of a political seducer. He tells people what they want to hear. He tells the potheads that he wants to legalize marijuana, and so the stoners line up behind him. He tells people who are opposed to inappropriate U.S. military involvement abroad that he's against that, so they think he's pretty good. He's anti-surveillance. We'll talk more about that next week. He's anti-surveillance because he doesn't want his Nazi and white supremacist buddies to get interdicted before they can ruin the country, in my considered opinion. More about that next week. But Ron Paul is a seducer. If you're opposed to excessive taxes, he'll tell you, oh yeah, me too. In this regard, very briefly before we launch into Ron Paul, the German Nazi Party under Adolf Hitler, the NSDAP, the German National Socialist Workers' Party, had as its campaign slogan, Freiheit und Brot, freedom and bread. And, you know, if you're not paying too close attention, that could be very seductive. I can see very easily people in Weimar Germany saying, well, hey, have you heard of this new party? They're called the German National Socialist Workers' Party. And someone would say, well, it certainly sounds like they are for the people. And the guy says, yeah, their motto is Freiheit und Brot, you know, freedom and bread. I say, hey, well, that sounds pretty good to me. I guess I'll vote for them. Well, the devil, as they say, was in the details, and that is the case with Ron Paul. Another article from the Huffington Post. This is from September 6th of 2013. This is an article, Ron Paul to speak at Holocaust Deniers Gala Dinner Fundraiser. And this reads in part, in a heated September 5th interview with MSNBC's Alex Wagner, former U.S. Congressman Ron Paul, who is currently surfing a wave of mainstream media appearances due to his strong criticism of the push for the Obama administration for U.S. military intervention in Syria, defended his planned September 11th, 2013 keynote address at a gala dinner fundraiser, unquote, to be held during a controversial conference organized by a fringe, schismatic Catholic organization accused of virulent anti-Semitism, the Fatima Center. According to a new report, Ron Paul's association with the Fatima Center leaders, including Fatima Center Father Nicholas Gruner, G-R-U-N-E-R, who has espoused Holocaust denial, traces back at least as far as 1998. During the September 5th interview, MSNBC's Wagner confronted Paul with the fact that the Fatima Center has been called a hardcore anti-Semite group and has in the past published writing suggesting that Jews should be stripped of certain civil rights, a suggestion also made by one of its speakers, Father Paul Leonard Kramer, who will join Ron Paul at the upcoming Fatima Center Path to Peace Conference to be held September 8th through 13th in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Former Congressman Paul responded to MSNBC correspondent Wagner's challenge by flatly refusing to reconsider his planned appearance at the Fatima Center Conference and by accusing Wagner of, quote, Catholic bashing, unquote. Also joining former Congressman Ron Paul at the event will be speakers who have promoted Holocaust denial and portrayed global warming as a hoax that will be used to justify a Jewish and Israeli-led genocide of most of the Earth's population, and who also reject the long-established scientific fact that the Earth orbits the sun. And sadly, this is only too typical of Ron Paul and his types of political associations and those of his son. Ron Paul has a relationship with the Nazi Liberty Lobby stretching intermittently. He's networked with them for decades. He has networked with David Duke, a prominent neo-Nazi slash Ku Klux Klan slash white supremacist leader. Younger listeners may not be aware of David Duke. His name is spelled as, just like it sounds, D-A-V-I-D-D-U-K-E. You can look him up on the internet. We will be talking about David Duke and Ron Paul next week, going into this material at greater length. In our admittedly tortuous journey through the milieu of Eddie the Friendly Spook, David Duke could be seen as something of a trace element. He has been networked with Ron Paul for decades. From the News One Post, Ron Paul was implicated in failed white supremacist island invasion by Casey Gain McCalla from January 20th of 2012. In 1981, a lawyer tried to subpoena Ron Paul to testify in the trial of Don Black, a grand wizard for the Ku Klux Klan, who would later go on to found the white supremacist neo-Nazis website, Stormfront. Black was charged along with the two other Klansmen with planning to violently overthrow the small Caribbean country of Dominica in what they called Operation Red Dog. While a judge refused to subpoena Paul, Don Black would come back to haunt him many years later. The Stormfront website has contributed money and recruited for Ron Paul, and skipping down in this post, we'll go into this at greater length next week. Michael Perdue was the leader of the group. Among those Perdue implicated were infamous white supremacist David Duke, former Texas Governor John Connally, and Congressman Ron Paul, whom he claimed knew about the plot. And still more from yet another News One article called The Top 10 Racist Ron Paul Supporters, also by Casey Gain McCalla. This from December 27th of 2011. There is a long account of David Duke, his support for Ron Paul, and vice versa, the point being that the David Duke-Ron Paul relationship and networking stretches back four decades. Now, again, we spoke about Joran Jermas. He also uses the name Israel Shamir. In an article from the Searchlight anti-fascist magazine of May 24th, Bartorbach, Sven Johansson, and Lisa Applebaum, Israeli writer is a Swedish anti-Semite. It talks about the Russian milieu with which Joran Jermas hangs out. He's now handling WikiLeaks operations in Russia. And it notes the publication Zavtra, for which Joran Jermas worked. It's a Russian fascist publication. While in Moscow, Joran Jermas worked as a journalist for Zavtra, which has been described as Russia's most anti-Semitic rag. When the notorious racist and former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke went to Russia to promote his new book, Jewish Supremacism, and his political party, it was on their editor's invitation. And we spoke about Carl Lundstrom. From the Peter Carlson article, The Gold, Take Over All Piracy, we note that Carl Lundstrom arranged a Swedish speaking tour for David Duke, who could again serve as something of a trace element for this concatenation that we are discussing. However, we are going to go into the Palestinian Libertarian Organization at greater length next week, because we're all out of time. This concludes Sod 2 of For the Record, Program 755. The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 2, Dramatis Personae, Part 2, subtitle Wiki Fascism, Part 3. I'm Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.